Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It's spring break, so it's crazy down here. You can't drive anywhere. But the thing is, we had a nice little cold snap. So you got that crisp, cool air, not humidity yet.
Mm-hmm.
It'll start building up. It's been building up inside of me for, God, I don't know how long.
According
to Beach Boys,
it's
from
a slow
don't
build.
Worry, baby. It's a slow build.
Yes. And for all of you craving,
it's a dry heat right now. Ah. In a couple of months, it will be so thick you can cut it with a knife.
That's right. We like it thick and cut with a knife.
All the fill timers out
thick
there.
Thick is the best way.
Yeah, all thick the fill timers getting ready. Big music references coming up today on the program. Stocker, what else do we have left over here?
Dr. Paul Offit was on the CNN programs yesterday talking
local
about
shop, doc.
Thank you, Don Sensen. That's why I pulled this. Talking about the measles outbreak. You know, the measles happening right now as we speak, and everybody is up in arms about the measles. let's start here with Cut 20.
Dr. Offit, vaccines slowed COVID, all but eliminated the measles from this country. How are you thinking about that today?
Well, I mean, you're right. When we had our second dose recommendation for a measles vaccine in 1989, within 10 years, we had eliminated measles from this country. And even though measles comes into this country from other countries, because we had a high vaccination rate, high population immunity, it never spread from American child to American child. But over the last 25 years, there's been an erosion in vaccine confidence. There's been fear of vaccine safety. And probably most importantly, I think not only have we largely eliminated measles, we've eliminated the memory of measles. And I think that's part of the problem.
To that point, these 225 or so cases in West Texas, another 30 in New Mexico, how far do you think this outbreak could spread?
Well, certainly before there was a vaccine, we'd have 3 to 4 million cases a year, 50,000 hospitalizations and 500 deaths. I mean, you're seeing now that a susceptible community is being infected with a virus that's highly contagious. And there are many communities like the Mennonite community where immunization rates are around 80%. You know, I was in Philadelphia in 1991 where we had 1,400 cases and 9 deaths, again, centering on 2 religious groups that were undervaccinated. We had an outbreak in Brooklyn in 2018-2019. It was, again, in an under-vaccinated community. There were 650 cases. In California, 2014-2015, an under-vaccinated community in Southern California spread to 7 states, spread to Canada, spread to Mexico. So it's a highly contagious virus. It's the most contagious virus. And I think when you're unvaccinated, it's a problem. The other thing that's interesting, you're actually better off being unvaccinated, living in a highly vaccinated community, than being vaccinated, living in a highly unvaccinated community.
Mm.
So when you say that there are a handful of people who, despite being vaccinated, have become infected, that's because no vaccine is 100% effective. And when you have a highly unvaccinated community like this one, then you're more likely to be exposed and more likely to get sick.
So I always try to think about what a real logical counterpoint or question, if I don't know the answer, would be to the allegations and accusations that the mainstream media will put out there. So my guess is, with these stories that are popping up with measles, is that the mainstream media is going to find a way to pin this on Bobby Kennedy and the Trump administration. But if we're seeing the outbreaks in, I think that clip said, West Texas and New Mexico, is it fair to have the question, logically, that since it's close to the border, are these stemming from unvaccinated illegal aliens that are entering our country? That's a question that I have. And then also, I thought that was pretty interesting, and I did not know that. You're better off being unvaccinated in a vaccinated heavy community versus being vaxxed in an unvaccinated area, which, based on Paul Offit's logic, then you're better off to be unvaccinated for this.
What? I'm trying to pull this all down.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm worried about the mumps. And what about chicken pox? Well, chicken pox is gone because all the chickens were killed, 100 million of them. And now that we've restocked the chickens, and now they're laying eggs again, and egg prices are coming down, I don't know what to do about the measles, the mumps, and any of these. I still have that. So when you get a measles shot like I did in 1952, how long does that last? Am I immune from getting the measles again because I had all those inoculations when I was a baby?
Did you? This is an serious question though. Did you get the measles vaccine? Because I thought it didn't come into effect until the late 50s.
It was some point.
I don't remember. I was a baby. I just remember when you were born, if you pull up your sleeve and you got, I don't have any tats, but you have that little thing in your arm. People back in my generation, when they got vaccinated as babies, mm-hmm. you know, it was rubella, whatever they had. They just gave you the whole, they gave you the whole works. You didn't care. You were a baby. It hurt, but you don't remember it because mm-hmm. you were an infant and they were, shooting you up with all this stuff. But I know I never got chicken pox, mumps, measles,
whooping cough,
any of that stuff.
See, I remember getting chicken pox as a kid.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
I think I got chicken pox, but you had to because that's good to get chicken pox out of the way. You don't have to worry about it again.
It went around my kindergarten class, I remember. I think I was patient zero for it.
You started it.
I started
it. Stocker always starts everything.
I did. One more from Paul Offit, and then the rebuttal. Somewhat from RFK Jr., Cut 21, on the vaccine confidence level right now in America. Roll it.
The last month, the FDA canceled a meeting to discuss the composition of flu vaccines for this fall's flu season. They're always kind of gaming out. What should it be so that we can try to have maximum protection for the next flu vaccine? You were supposed to be there. Do you have any update on that?
Oh, I think that meeting was canceled. I think the FDA is just going to take this in-house and make the decision without the transparency of an external advisory committee. I mean, the good thing about having a group of 12 or so experts who are independent of the government, independent of pharmaceutical companies, is we can then hold the sort of science behind a policy to a high standard. And it's open to the public. So it's transparent. And I think you lose that. And I think when you lose the transparency, I think the public, if anything, becomes more distrustful. There was also an advisory committee of immunization practices to the CDC meeting that was canceled. And I just worry that this is suggesting something bigger.
To that point.
Actually, can you pause that right there? I want to go back to the big take that I played last week when Dr. Marty McCarry turned it around on that Washington senator who was criticizing the cancellation of that meeting, that advisory board. And he said what I thought was the perfect counter. Well, nobody seemed to have an issue or even question or bring up when Biden and his administration canceled the same type of meeting for the booster for COVID. So you don't get to play selective science morality based on administrations and who's running an FDA, an NIH, or a CDC when it suits or fits your side of the ledger. Remember that lady we played last week? She was like almost beside herself in a real low-key fashion talking about the flu vaccine. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't even think twice about getting a flu vaccine anymore. She wanted to make it like a five-alarm fire.
I've never gotten a flu shot. Never, ever.
I've had one or two, but like in 20 years of, being, quote, an adult, I think I've had one or two. And it's like, oh, yeah, they're doing that again. I'm at the grocery store. I saw the sign. I'll get it. Or I don't get it. It's not something I really ever think about.
Two things I'll say. Number one, before the widespread measles vaccinations went into effect, 500 deaths happened. A year.
Yeah.
And generally, you're talking about babies mm-hmm. or especially babies under 1 year old, or you're talking about senior citizens or elderly with immune compromised situations. But I will say also, I'm just going to point out to you that there were up to 4 million cases. And of those, about 50,000 people, babies, etc., had to be hospitalized. So by the measles, when they came up with the vaccine at some point in the 50s, mm-hmm. they avoided that. They avoided, come on, 4 million people from getting sick, 50,000 mm-hmm. from being hospitalized and very ill, which is disruptive in so many ways, and 500 deaths. And so if you want to say, well, it's worth it when you can completely avoid it, then that's the conversation.
Yep. Keep going with this clip, Phil.
So it's American Health Index that shows that trust in public health institutions and leaders remains divided. It either declined or never fully recovered as a result of COVID. I wonder what reflections you might have over the last 5 years and what could have been done differently, whether these lasting impacts might provide lessons not only on public health messaging, but any steps from here forward with outbreaks like this measles one.
Well, you're certainly right. I think that during the last 5 years of this pandemic, especially the first 2 years of the pandemic, I think we lost the public's trust, which is ironic in the sense that we had a vaccine that clearly saved about 3 million American lives, and there were at least 250,000 people who, by choosing not to get a vaccine, lost their lives. But I think of the communication, I think probably could have been done a little more out in the open in terms of how policy decisions were being made. I think we had to be humble right from the beginning because you learn as you go. And I don't think we adequately showed how we really did need to learn as we go. We're building the airplane while it's in the air. Maybe our statements were a little too definitive. And I think that put people off. So that right now, we, I think, are probably at the lowest level of vaccine confidence, certainly in my lifetime.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. You're learning as you go, and now we have this hesitancy, and we were a little too definitive. Why should anybody trust any of these vaccine experts the next time a pandemic comes around? After what we were told and what we realized was true, and then also the way people were stigma to it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not vaxxed? Ooh, you like, seriously? Like, you know. My health decisions and my medical choices are none of your business.
RFK Jr. Addressed the vaccine issue on Hannity last night. Roll this.
We're looking at an HHS.
First of all, Governor Abbott, we're singing your praises, talking about you going all in, you providing the vaccines. You know,
we're providing vaccines.
Triage, basically.
Yeah, we're providing vitamin A.
Well, he said you mentioned that, yeah.
Which, you know, there are many studies, some showing 87% of effectiveness of vitamin A.
To help.
But against serious disease and death.
Yeah.
The death is very, you know, from measles, historically, it was between 1 in 1,200 and 1 in 10,000. And so it does not have a high infection fatality rate. And the people who tended to die were people who had comorbidities and they were malnourished. Which is less of a problem because the vaccine came around in 1963, and the WICS program, which fed all of these hungry kids in our country, came in 64. And so, but it's something that we're worried about. It's something that we're keeping an eye on. I've spoken with Governor Abbott. I've spoken with the health officials all over Texas. I've spoken with the family of the one girl who died. Mm-hmm. It's a heartbreaking story, and I've spoken with health officials all over.
There are people that are choosing not to get vaccinated.
Yes.
You, one thing Governor Abbott did emphasize, he said, you have made vaccines to whatever number they need available immediately to the state of Texas and
anybody,
any other state.
Anybody who wants a vaccine
can get
one, and we will make sure of that.
And you can get it for free.
Yes.
Well, I mean, they're not free. We all realize that during COVID, you're paying for this stuff, folks. But that's all I'm asking for is choice. No mandates. That's all. Choice. Now, you can sit there and talk about other vaccines where it is mandatory when you're born and to enter schools and things like that. But I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. What I'm not fine with is the fact that that guy sat there for over an hour and chatted with Hannity and didn't touch his burger. That thing has not been touched the entire interview.
I know. And you keep looking at it. You're like, is he going to take a bite out of that?
That's all I'm looking at. I know. And he's barely eating the fries. Come on, Bobby. They're not going to kill you.
That's a steak and shake, right?
Steak and shake. Beef tallow. Yes.
I found out that there is not a steak and shake. I think the closest one is like West Virginia or something.
So. Is that right?
Yeah, they're big. They started in Indiana. That's the first time I saw them. They have them here in Florida. You know, it's a good product. Now with the beef tallow. Yeah. Again, now beef tallow. I'm going to have to go out and hoard beef tallow today.
Well, now it's going to be the time to get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have stock in beef tallow, now's the time to... cash this.
Crack me up.
We'll be selling it in Costco later today. Hey, where's the beef tallow aisle? Yeah. I need to go and get some beef tallow. Because olive oil, real olive oil, is now more expensive than gasoline. By the way, the breaking news that the mainstream media today will ignore, the latest economic numbers are out, and they're good. So I guarantee mm-hmm. you will not hear this on the mainstream media. Unemployment numbers, price index numbers, gas prices are down, egg prices are down, mortgage rates are down, all that stuff happening. And all of a sudden now, all these people every single day wanting to hear more bad news and blaming it on Trump. What are they going to say today?
I still haven't played the Duggar Band, the country music brother duo from Tennessee, who were sent a letter from the Today in Nashville on WSMV TV. Mm-hmm. We will get to all that, but I want to stay on time here, so we should take a break and come back and do Dawn's Big Three. Kale,
that sounds okay good. You? Tony, yeah. Sticking around?
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue.
If you want me, you know, I can be quiet. I can shut my mouth.
No, that's a lie. That's BS.
We need you to comment on all of Don's stories. I hear there's a story about a turtle coming up.
Yes, you're going to love this.
Yeah, not a turtle head, just a turtle.
I love turtles.
Before the end of the show, I promise we will play the Duggar Band.
The Duggar Band.
The Duggar Band, yeah.
And by the way, there's an update on the Duggar Band, too, that story.
That's right.
All right.
And Doug Emhoff, not in this band, by the way. Kale & Company, Big Three is next. Stay right there.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, let's go to our local Steak and Shake correspondent, the great Phil Omquist behind me.
Well, apparently there was one in this area. But Phil, what's the story with it?
2 years ago, they built one and put one in Warminster on Street Road. It was there a day. They had a fire that day and closed it.
Oh my God!
Today in burger history,
it was literally open for one day.
Yeah,
literally open for one day. They closed it, and then after they fixed it all up, they opened it again, and then it was closed. Maybe like 3 months later, I don't know if they got enough workers or something, but it was gone right after that. So
good night, everybody.
It was literally in the area, and now it's a Popeyes.
Wow!
Wow!
Lasted longer than Vivek did with Doge.
So the day it opened, there was a fire?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, literally that night, there was a fire in that building.
They weren't using beef tallow. They were using that crappy sea oil.
Preserve the tallow.
Highly flammable.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Phil Omquist, if it happens in Warminster, he knows.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know because I was actually there that morning and I got something.
He was waiting outside. He was one of the five customers they had that day.
He was there hanging out with all of his...
all the fill timers out there.
Yeah, all the fill timers out there. All right, thank you
By the way, the Duggar Band, this is breaking news from John Rich. Yeah. I got to meet and know John Rich years ago in Tampa when he was down there. But the Duggar Band is now number 2 on iTunes on the country chart.
Of course they are.
And they'll be posting the video. Special shout out to the liberal Nashville network, WSMV, for disallowing their performance of the song "You Have Made These Boys Famous."
So, yeah.
Before we get to the end of the show, we will play it.
Yes. Good John Rich knowledge, by the way. I ran into John Rich during the break, but he was heading to the bathroom. He's mad. He's mad at the camera.
By the way, can I just say this? That on when I pulled this song early this morning, it had like 5,000 views on YouTube. You know, by the end of the day, it's going to have like 5 million views on YouTube.
It's almost like if you boycott something in conservative music or country music, it backfires.
Whether it's good or not,
right.
You know what I mean? Like you can listen to this and be like, it's probably not that good.
Who was the guy that we played a couple of times last? It was either last spring or 2 springs
that
ago.
Disappeared.
Yeah, Oliver something.
Oliver, yeah,
yeah,
something. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
he's still around.
But nobody cares about.
Try that in a small town.
No,
that
was Aldean.
Yeah, that was Jason Aldean.
Yeah,
who's already huge.
Yes, not like Jason Aldean.
By the way, the girl who died first in a decade. From Texas. I don't think it's widely reported. She was 6 years old on Mennonite.
Yes.
All right. Did we say that?
No. Does it matter?
Sorry. We were talking about something else.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she was a Mennonite. Who? Why? For what?
We're conducting three different radio shows on this show here this morning.
No wonder why
We've
nobody answers
so much
me when I have
news.
Everybody's plotting their own
everywhere.
Show out.
Yeah.
Yes. This segment sponsored by my ADD. Not that I'm on ADD medication.
This hour brought to you by Ritalin.
Ritalin. Yeah.
Or Dawn's need for it.
Yeah.
God. All right. Let's get to the Big Three. Dawn Stensland, take it away, dear.
It's the Big Three and Nine on Kale & Company.
So, number one, class action lawsuits against Girl Scout cookies.
Uh-oh.
Why? They're accused of containing heavy metals. pesticides and other toxins.
No!
Yeah,
Girl Scout cookies.
You guys...
defund the Girl Scouts.
In all seriousness, have you guys ever looked at what's in Thin Mints?
No.
Oh, which are delicious.
You don't want to know.
See, I never get to that point because when I go through my coffee drive-thru on a Saturday in the fall and the little Girl Scouts are out there with the moms at the table,
yeah,
I don't roll the window down.
Well, it's funny because yesterday I got a lot of people called me out for calling alcohol poison, which it is, by the way.
Yes,
that doesn't mean I don't imbibe and partake. I do.
Doesn't do as much as me.
I'm just saying that it's like there's no amount of alcohol that's good alcohol. There's just not. Yeah. The same thing with Thin Mints.
I see. I don't know. But you, I mean, there are studies out there that say a glass of wine, red wine, is good for your heart.
Yeah.
So you're a science denier.
No, it's not. Just eat grapes.
Yeah.
Frankly.
There's studies from like Yale and Harvard where these people
Sponsored by.
Right? I'm just saying, Thin Mints, look at the... Take... I'm sure our listeners right now have a box in their cupboard.
Oh.
Take it out. Look at the ingredients on it. I'm telling you.
It's processed. It has to be crap, right?
So this lawsuit filed in federal court quotes a study, not a peer-reviewed study, but it's published in a scientific journal. The lawsuit does cite a study by Moms Across America and GMO Science. They claim 100% of the cookies tested contain toxins. And so it's
important. No!
Yes. That's what they claim. They're delicious, but they're toxic. That's the claim here. So the Girl Scouts of America responding, and they say that the cookies are safe to eat and are made in line with all current food safety regulations, adding that heavy metals occur naturally in soil.
Oh, my God. So there are heavy metals, but they're natural heavy metals.
You know. So I don't know. Maybe we should change the standards. Huh?
I've never liked mint on my cookie or ice cream.
Girl Scout cookies are delicious.
I'm more of a peanut butter guy.
Yeah, those two. Hey, a Pennsylvania man making headlines. I believe we have a little video to go along with this. But he's accused in a rare smuggling kind of a case, hiding something in his pants, trying to get through airport security. TSA workers, they say they thought they had seen it all until this guy. He's from East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Hey!
Making us proud here in PA.
I know it well.
Hey, is that a... what's that in your pocket, or are you just
is that a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me, baby?
So he was caught trying to smuggle this live turtle in his pants. So it all started when TSA, they say they saw this strange bulge. So they conducted per protocols, conducted a pat down. This is Newark Liberty International Airport. After the body scan alarm was triggered in the area of the man's groin.
Mm-hmm.
This is all according to TSA. And
what kind of turtle was it? I love turtles. Remember that little kid who says, I like turtles, or I love turtles?
It's a red...
There was that little kid.
Yeah.
You ask a great question. It's a red ear slider turtle, which is one of the most popular brands.
Yeah.
5 inches.
Yep, I had one of those.
5 inches long.
Yep. So did I. Yeah, they're the ones you get at, like, carnivals. And then you come home and you're like, oh, cool, I have a turtle that
now
I have to take care of.
Yeah.
That smells.
Yeah.
So was not a snapper.
I've never been a fan. I've never understood the infatuation with pet reptiles. Not my thing.
Well, it's illegal. Can't do that. It was wrapped in a little blue cloth. So they asked him about it and they said, hey, is that a turtle?
So it's a red turtle in blue cloth. Does that make it a swing state turtle?
Good one. So he did reach down in the front of his pants. He pulled out the turtle. Oh. It was alive.
Excuse me while I
whip this thing out.
Oh, boy. So he missed his flight. I don't know if he's going to be charged. I don't know if it was his pet. We don't have all the details.
Okay.
There you go.
So we have the video of this guy? Or no?
There was some video that was released that I sent. Well, anyway, there were also, we have some, this is one of the most popular things that's being watched streaming live. It's Eagle Cam. I'm not talking about our Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about Chauncey Gardner, CJ, who's being traded, blah, blah, blah. But this is a real Eagle. So these three tiny, I mean, they're downy little white-feathered little bald eagle chicks emerging from their shells. This is high, 80 feet high in New Jersey in a sycamore tree. And they have an eagle cam. It's eagle.com. And so this has been captured. The birth was captured and they've broken through and it's really adorable.
Okay.
You can hear them like making little noises. It's very cute.
Oh,
I'm going to be putting up an osprey cam because on a telephone pole right next to our house, there's an osprey nest. So I'm going to go live to the osprey cam down here because, you know, I got to find a way to, you know, make some money on the side. You know, people love that live pet cams, you know,
live pet cams. Is that a thing?
Sure.
Yeah, people like watching like eagle nests because they're first of all, if we had an eagle nest, we would have to shut down construction because you can't do any you can't build anywhere near an eagle nest if you have your home going up. Ospreys are protected, too, but you don't have to shut down construction.
OK, there you go.
And that's your big three.
All right, Don, thank you very much. Do we have time for the music?
Well, we should take a break, okay. And then on the other side, we should play the Duggar Band. Since it's being...
Duggar.
Since first, they're going to read the statement that they got from the local NBC affiliate there, and then we will play the song and do Phil's the music history next.
All right, we'll be back after this. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. But first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America. Your lawn is probably not looking like Tony Bruno's in Florida just yet, but it's going to be happening soon enough here in the Northeast in Pennsylvania, and that's why getting on board with Natural Lawn makes a ton of sense. It's my lawn care company, because at Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals, where they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and those pets. You can't have a pet cam with an unhealthy pet, right? From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn today. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and you will get a free seeding. That's right. Free seeding every single year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn, again, plus free seeding, make Natural Lawn your destination at 800-FREE-SEED. Call them today, 800-FREESEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
We were set to perform our new single, True Colors, on a TV program called Today in Nashville on WSMV. However, we just received this email from the station. So sorry that I didn't raise this flag before. We are just now really looking into the lyrics of the song. The song does cross a political line that we as a station just can't cross.
Oh,
we as a show and a station do not allow any politically biased songs on either side of the line. We're going to have to ask the band to perform a different song on Wednesday. We can still mention that they recently released it, but we will still need to explore a different song to perform. Please let us know if you have any questions or how we can help make this change. We wrote this song because we're proud to be Americans and we're tired of people putting the USA down. I'll quote the lyrics from the chorus of our song, True Colors. I ain't leaving here. I'm an eighth generation, God-fearing, blue-collar, with the flag waving. I don't wait for the 4th of July. It's year-round, lifelong American pride. Right here, right now, I'm drawing a line. If this country ain't something you can stand behind, then that's the difference between me and you, because my true colors are red, white, and blue. We decided not to perform a different song on WSMV, because our freedom of speech is worth more than their publicity. True Colors is available on all platforms, and if the people...
Yeah, those lyrics, now granted I haven't heard the song yet, but they sound very divisive. Although, you know, I'm sure if they were talking about the Palestinian flag, WSMV, they would have aired that sucker on a marathon.
All right, you guys want to hear just a little bit of this song?
Yeah, let's go to the
This
tape.
Is not Cyndi Lauper.
No, this is not Cyndi Lauper's True Colors. Thank you, Don Stanton.
And this is the Duggar Band.
The Duggar Band from...
Teach Me How to Duggar.
By the way, I guess you can get this. Tony Bruno reported that this song is already topping the iTunes charts. I'm sure it's going to do the same.
Could they come here in the hub for Travis Mannion coming up?
Why don't they come here?
We have live music.
Well, here's the thing.
Like Sean Farish, they could travel with
Farish, right? Farish might be back up here sometime soon. We'll just let Farish travel with the Duggar Band.
Yeah.
Rent them a Winnebago. Let them drive up, play the banjo, and... talk about getting NBC affiliates triggered.
All right,
I love these guys.
Okay, I have a request out there for everybody on the YouTube chat, because Dawn brings up a very interesting point. If somebody will make a $5,000 donation to the Travis Mannion Foundation on the day of Radiothon, I will try and fly them up.
You will try. You will effort to it.
I will effort to fly them up.
Okay. I like it. Bro, I love it.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Let me know if you'll make the donation.
Yeah.
If we can get at least one $5,000 donation to the Travis Mannion Foundation. Not now. I don't know if I can make this happen.
Right.
But if on the day you'll make the donation, I will bring them up.
Yes. And then we'll get them on a party pontoon boat at the Philadelphia Boat Show. We'll go out on a lake and we'll listen to that song and drink White Claws.
Sometimes the best things that this radio station does happens right on the air.
That's right.
All right, we have to...
All right, let's get to the movie clip. Jimmy Kelly, what is our morning mystery movie clip today?
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I understand.
You're on this council, but we do not grant you the rank of master.
What? How can you do this? This is outrageous. It's unfair. How can you be on the council and not be a master?
Take a seat.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, today's great prize, again, another pair of tickets to see our buddy Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra. Dawn and I just saw him a few weeks ago in Westchester, but he will be coming up on Saturday, April 5th, Keswick Theater, Glenside, PA. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. We keep them waiting no more.
All the fill timers out there.
It is time for Today in Music History.
Hang on.
Oh, it was a beautiful transition.
It was great.
Execution of the drop.
Today in Music History.
March 12th, we celebrate the birthdays of Ben Kenny from Incubus, who's 48, Steve Harris from Iron Maiden, who's 69, and James Taylor, who's 77. We also lost Clive Burr from Iron Maiden in 2013, Michael Hossick from the Doobie Brothers in 2012, and Bob Rivers, known for the song The 12 Pains of Christmas, yesterday. Sings include Mama, I'm Coming Home by Ozzy in 92, Life in a Northern Town by the Dream Academy in 85, and Without You by Motley Crue in 1990. Albums include Vices by Circus of Power in 90. Kiss Unplugged in 96. Borrowed Time by Diamond Head in 82. Out of Time by R.E.M. in 91. And Going to Hell by The Pretty Reckless in 2014. Also in 2013, Bob Dylan was voted into the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. In 2010, over 130 people were arrested and 8 people were hospitalized as fans tried to gate crash Metallica show in Colombia. In 2007, Amy Winehouse made her U.S. TV debut on The Late Show with David Letterman. In 68, The Stones began recording Jumping Jack Flash. In 69, Paul McCartney married Linda Eastman. In 71, the Allman Brothers played the first of two nights at the Fillmore East in New York. In 98, lawyers for Korn sent a cease and desist demand to a Michigan assistant principal who suspended a student for wearing a Korn t-shirt and told a reporter the band was indecent, vulgar, and obscene. But lastly, on this day in 65, the Beatles wrap up filming on their second movie, Help. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Alpers.
There he is, Phil Timers. Hope you got your fix and your fill as we find out what is coming up at the Dawn Show, top of the hour.
We have a ton of breaking news locally, but nationally as well within the Trump administration. So DJT, we've got Elon Musk, Doge News, Department of Education, watching the court case unfold today with this guy who they're trying to get out of the country after anti-Jewish, anti-Israel protests and what he's doing. Will they be able to give him the boot? The ACLU now on his side. Caroline Levitt, Sean Hannity losing weight. My gosh, there's a plethora of news interviews. It's all jammed in there.
Before we get to the winner,
the wiener,
Don writes us who's a troll. But
Oh, I know this guy.
He said to us, so they're discussing about how we're a very hateful show and a very hateful radio station.
What?
They're trying to talk to the new comedian that we brought on, Alex. They're trying to scare him away. Don writes, in addition to their regular hatred towards anyone who doesn't fall in line with MAGA, I guess that's including me, if you listen, you will commonly hear them refer to people as garbage, scumbags, fatzos, brain dead, illegals, ugly, morons, and many other hateful terms.
Mm.
I feel like that could be... I want that on a shirt.
Yes. I was actually thinking, we need a new Kale and Company shirt. Let's get with the nice Kale and Company logo on the front.
Yep.
And then on the back, all the terms that we use that you don't like.
Garbage, scumbags, fatzos, brain deads, illegals, ugly, morons, and many other hateful
terms. Yet you listen for all 4 hours and hide behind a burner, you coward.
You'll hear all of that on Kale and Company.
Did I say any of that?
No, I did. I take full responsibility for that. Me and Kale and sometimes Tony Bruno.
Yeah.
Also illegal.
You want to call in, Don? Stop hiding behind that little cat avatar of yours.
Tony, they forgot Strapper.
Strapper.
Yeah.
Where's the Strapper's at?
Strapper's at.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. We've got Sean in Abington. Hello, Sean. What was the movie we played for you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Nick. It's Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
There you go, Sean. You are on your way to see Joe Conklin.
Sean, are you a garbage, scumbag, fatso, brain dead, illegal, ugly moron?
No, he listens to this show. He's the exact opposite.
That's beautiful.
Why do you cut people loose? My God.
Bruno, you know where we get radio. That from, right?
It's radio, homeboy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not working for him anymore.
he's in the Bay.
This him.
In the Bay Area. All right, that'll do it for us. Tony Bruno, thank you for sticking around. You stayed with us for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Hey.
That's stamina.
I got staying power, you know?
He does.
I can't go four, though, but then I'd have to call my doctor.
Right. So they got blue pills for. All
he
right.
doesn't want Miss Robin to smile too much.
No, exactly. Exactly, right.
What? What? He's distracted so she can have some quality time. Believe me, you will guzzle.
Stay tuned. Dawn is coming up next. Sean Farish on a Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow at 6. Until then.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.